Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us.
Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode. Today, we are speaking on the Barrow review and also the Brentford preview, because obviously they're so close together in the week, so it sounds boring you to death with two podcasts. So we are going to gloss over the Barrow result, because obviously, you know, disrespect, but it is Barrow, so I don't think anybody was really expecting an upset. Going straight into it, I mean, we talk about the goals. I mean, they was all pretty awesome. I mean, obviously, we'll talk about the first half first, but Cameron Archer was absolutely sublime with his first finish. El Ghazi with his cheeky Pananka penalty. And his goal just before half-time. I mean, there was quite a lot of to take in, wasn't there? I mean, what do you think?
I've seen that, you know, the Barrow manager said that the result was harsh on them, but in a way I don't think it was. You know, I recall Barrow having, you know, two, maybe three good chances in the game, but that's about it. You know, we started off really well, like you said. You know, Archer got his first goal off pretty much his first touch, I think, you know, 10 minutes in. Harahan, how good was his passing, by the way? You know, quality.
Erlo-esque.
And I know it's against, you know, League Two opposition, but, you know, you've got to have the quality to play those kind of balls all game. And he plays El Ghazi in behind. You know, it's what we've been trying to, what we tried to do against Newcastle. And he puts it on a plate for Archer. He couldn't miss. And, you know, to say that, he's come out of nowhere, really. You know, I was expecting Wesley to start before all the rumours were of him going back to Belgium. I was quite surprised by Archer starting, but I knew that he had goal pedigree with him being the main striker in the under-23s.
Yeah.
And after he got that goal, you know, confidence grew. You know, we had the penalty then won by Bedinc, who was phenomenal all game. It was good to see a bit of pace injected on at least one side of the wings. You know, and then Barrow probably had the next best chance with a header onto the roof of the net. And then it was made 3-0 by El Ghazi just in the stroke of half-time. You know, to be fair, the first and the third goal, the build-up play was phenomenal and was quality. And you could definitely tell the golfing quality between the two sides, even with it being a, you know, not even really our B team. You know, we've got the backup, you know, defence, goalkeeper, midfield, but it's apart from El Ghazi, you've got a front three of youth players, all 19 or under. So, you know, it was great for them to get the, you know, the minutes in for the young players, the experience of the first team and, you know, winning a cup. You know, it was a super first half, and I especially like that we got the third goal, because by then the game's basically gone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as you said, the Barrow manager said that basically, you know, it was a bit of a harsh result, but I don't think it was at all, like you said, because I mean, Carney had a few chances as well. You know, there were some, I wouldn't say easy chances missed, but it could have easily gone into double figures. You know, let's not try and gloss it over. But as you said, Barrow did have a couple of chances. I mean, their most threatening strike was smashing their own stadium up by dropping the light, which I thought was quite hysterical, than watching a guy climb a ladder and use, I don't know what, he looked like cable ties to put this light back up.
And, I mean, some say he was aiming for that and that's he wanted a goal for it.
But yeah, like you say, it wasn't, you know, let's not get carried away. It is only Barrow, but, you know, you can only, you know, play using Frontier, and we played very well. And as you said, there wasn't no 18 players. You got El Ghazi, I suppose, But let's be honest, when Bally's fully fit and Buendia, we've got a full, you know, squad, El Ghazi isn't really going to start as much. So it was pretty much, you know, the reserves and the kids. But obviously, it was good to see the kids get run out. I did quite like seeing Hourihane have the arms band because I don't know if that's a swan song, maybe. You know, who knows? We'll see over the coming days whether that was his last appearance in the Villa shirt and they give him that for his service. I don't know. But yet it was impressive. But saying that, going to half time, was there any change you should make being 3-0 up?
I mean, even though it was a very positive performance in the first half, I did think there was two players in particular that looked like they were struggling. Can you have a guess on who those two players could have been?
Nakamba being
one. That's one, yeah.
Oh, and the second one. Target, did you say?
I thought it was in the Cameron House.
House, okay, yeah.
We're struggling. I noted as we went into half time, you know, there was a few things. I'm pretty sure it's because Nakamba's still not used to the lower leagues of English football, but like there's a few times he was barged off the ball. There was one time before he got booked, he was barged to the floor and then appealing for a foul, which never came. And then he got booked, and then that led to Barrow's best chance of the first half. But it, I mean, I was thinking maybe Nakamba, which I think did happen in the end. Oh, no, he didn't, did it? No, he didn't go off, did he?
No, he didn't, no.
Which, you know, he had to spend another 60 minutes on a booking, so you're always wary of that. Apart from that, you know, I was kind of hoping, at the time anyway, El Ghazi to get a hat-trick then to take him off, maybe. But no, I wouldn't have changed anything in going to half-time because we were, you know, comfortable and, you know, free-flowing in some cases.
I mean, for me, as you said, Nakamba was poor. I thought Nakamba looked out of place. And if you're going to struggle against Barrow, then I'm kind of worried with him playing in the league. I know people kind of liked him towards the end of last season, but I just don't think he's good enough. I know this, like you said, Wesley looks like he's going out low, and I wouldn't mind Nakamba going out. But to be fair, if we sold him, I don't think I'd, you know, lose much sleep over that either. So I would have liked to see Nakamba go off. And even though we, El Ghazi got two, I still would have liked to see him go off early. I know we went off for one of the Ramsey brothers, but I would like to have seen Nakamba come off for the other Ramsey brother. As you said about Courtney Ouse, like, he didn't have the best of games. I'd say he was a bit clumsy and a bit behind on it, but I don't know if that's due to, you know, not really getting much game or whatnot. I don't know. But again, I'd like to see Bogard come on. I know I'm kind of saying like I'm using all three subs in one go, so I understand why he didn't. You never know for injuries and whatnot. But yeah, like, I don't understand how Nick Campbell got a full 90. Like I say, maybe it was match fitness. Who knows? Going into the second half, obviously 3-0 up. Obviously, goal line says we won 6-0, so you can probably guess we scored another three. Archer obviously got another two to complete his hat trick, and it was a absolutely phenomenal hat trick as well. You know, the one where he dinked the keeper. Knock him, really. And the other one was obviously Gilbert as well, which is good to see him play and get on the score sheet. So what do you take for the second half?
I mean, going into the second half, you know, going back to what Barrow's manager said, they wanted to come out and try and change the game a little bit. And they did. You know, they had a very good chance, and Steer made a good save down to his left-hand side, straight, you know, near enough from kickoff. And then from then, I think we kind of woke up and was like, right, we need to go and put this game to bed now. And, you know, Archer gets into a fantastic position. And, you know, if someone like Wayne Rooney or, you know, in the past, or, you know, like someone like Jamie Vardy now, if they would have done that Archer chip, it would have been played and played and played again online and by Sky and by whomever. But, you know, I know you've said earlier, you know, no disrespect to Barrow, but you know, you are put into that position, yeah, and you have to, you know, either deal with it, or, you know, you crumble. And, you know, Archer took, like he said in his press conference after the game, he took it with both hands. And boy, did he, because that goal, I believe, is just, it's so underrated, and how good it was. Then we have the Gilbert chance. People were knocking Budince a bit, you know, in his final third, not for his creativity, but for his finishing. You know, he took too many touches with that one. Keeper did well. I think Gilbert's got a bit lucky, though, because I think by accident Budince has stood on the keeper's foot, because you can see him hopping around in the replay, and then Gilbert smashes it on his left foot, which I didn't realise he had a left foot, but, you know, we move. He loves a goal in the cup as well. I'm pretty sure he scored against Crewe last season, or the season before last, in that 6-1. We love scoring six in the cup, don't we, first round, actually?
We do.
And then to seal it all off, Archer completes his hat-trick. It looks like he's lost the ball, but Budince is there to back him up. And can I tell you what? You know, that pass from Budince to Archer for his final goal, quality, absolute quality. I showed my dad the highlights this morning, and he was like, you know, that pass, you know, is how he's pulled it off is remarkable. And, you know, it set Archer up lovely. And to say that he scored three goals in one game for Villa, and he scored four goals in 26 for Solihull Moors last season on loan, you know, we've got a player on our hands, and hope, you know, he might go out on loan now after that performance. But, you know, with him being the main striker in the under-23s, I can see him having a year as the main guy, and then possibly going out on loan. But, you know, he was played quite a lot at left side for Solihull Moors last season. So, you know, we've seen one glimpse of him, but, you know, let's not get carried away. It's Barrow at the end of the day. And yes, we've said, you know, we've got to beat what's in front of you. But these youth players that we've got right now, they're better than League Two standards, you know. There's a few that have gone out on loan to League Two and some to the National League. And I've said that, you know, surely they can get League Two or even League One standard loans. And, you know, that's what they need. That's what they really need. They need to get week in, week out men's football, because it's so, so different. You know, I think the only loanee out is Louis Barry, who's in League One right now. And, you know, you'd be surprised that, you know, Kessler didn't get a League One move and all the rest. But, you know, we've got some great youth players coming through. And I'm sure we'll say in the player ratings about how well we marked the youth players from yesterday's game.
And now going into the player ratings, we'll start going by player as always. So we'll start, obviously, at the back. So, Jed Steer, what's your player ratings, mate?
For me, Jed Steer gets a 7. You know, he wasn't called upon much throughout the game, but when he did, he made the stops, especially that save straight into the second half. You know, it was a good save, probably, you know, routine, but, you know, for someone who doesn't play in, week out, to have, you know, his mindset, you know, right for it and get to it, it was a good stop. And, you know, I thought his distribution was okay as well, you know. So, 7, you know, solid.
I gave a 7 as well. Like I say, he wasn't really called upon too much, but every save he had to make, he did comfortably. So, it's not really his fault, but I can't give him more than a 7 because he didn't do anything extraordinary. So, 7 for him. Going into Matt Target.
For me, Target gets a 7. You know, he did nothing wrong, you know, like Steer. I mean, obviously, he must have done something wrong because he was being booed by the Barrow fans all game. But, you know, we don't get that myself. But, you know, he was going up and down, you know, all throughout the game. Helped out with the communication side because, you know, he was probably one of the most experienced in the group. It helped out Archer with, you know, with positions and communications wise when he got moved out to left wing, as Archer said in his press conference. You know, he was Mr. Consistent last season, and I think it's what he needed to build some confidence in, build some fitness in, to be able to go and try and challenge Ashley for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I gave a 7 as well. I think, like you said, Cameron Archer, you know, did praise him, and you know, and that's good to see that, you know, the experienced players helping the younger players. But yeah, I mean, I would have liked to have seen him chip in with a goal or assist just to get him, you know, off the ground, especially with Ashley Young seeming to be doing quite well at the moment at left back and seemed to have taken his place. He was Mr. Reliable last season because Target was pretty much undroppable last season. Obviously, we had Neil Taylor for backup, which obviously didn't, you know, didn't help somebody going to get in front of him. But yeah, he's got a good competition on his hands in Ashley Young. So hopefully this, well, to be fair, this did him no harm at all. Going into Courtney Hayes.
Now, I did say earlier that I thought he was struggling at half-time, and it probably shows in my player ratings. I've given him a 6. You know, he's normally quite, you know, boisterous. You know, he's... I mean, I'm not a biggest fan of House on the Ball anyway, but, you know, when you said earlier, if you're struggling against Barrow, it's a bit concerning. You know, everyone has a bad day at the office, and I'm hoping it's just that I'd rather have House have that now than rather we play like, you know, a Chelsea or someone like that playing 5 at the back, or he's in for suspension or injury. So, you know, I'm not putting him down too much because, you know, it's basically a training session, but standards still need to be met. So it's a 6 for me.
Yeah, I gave him a 6 as well. As you said, I don't think he was amazing. He did get caught a few times. You know, he did have a poor game. So, yeah, he pretty much said everything I need to say. So, yeah, I gave a 6. Twan Zabi.
I mean, I was tempted just to give him a 10 just to give for the song coming back. But I've gone for a 7. I thought, you know, out of the two of them, the centre-backs, he was the better one. I mean, I thought the referee was being a bit harsh with some of the fouls that he was giving against Axel, but, you know, it happens in football. But he was the one that shone in the centre of defence. You know, they had that striker that kept on trying to get in behind and trying to barge his way through. And I thought Twan Zabi did well to stop that. And I thought you were very... very calm on the ball, especially when we were passing it around our own 18-yard box. So it could have been a 7.5, but I'm not doing half ratings anymore.
Fair enough. I gave him an 8. I thought he did very well. I thought, obviously, we shouldn't be trouble ball Barrow, and we wasn't really. But obviously, you've still got to have your wits about you. The last thing you want to do is let a team, no offence to Barrow fans at all, or the team. But you can't really afford for them to score against a team that's trying to fight for Europe. Do you know what I mean? Even a goal for them kind of is slightly embarrassing. So, you know, to be calm on that and, you know, not get stressed and worried, you know, Twan Zabi did himself no harm in that. I still don't think he'll get in front of Mings and Konza, but he had a good game, good shift. Going into Gilbert.
I've given him an 8. You know, it's obviously going to get boosted up because he scored a goal. He got an assist. I think it's for El Ghazi's second, Villa's third. Yeah. Lovely cross, by the way. And we know how good he had a cross when he was in the Premier League side that just stayed up, you know, 2 seasons ago. You know, he learned from the best in El Mohammadi. But, you know, I'd want him to stay around the club. You know, Cash needs someone to have on his back. You know, last season it was Al Mohammadi, which, you know, probably wasn't the best backup, like you said, with Neil Taylor for Matt Target. But, you know, he loves a challenge. We know that from previous. He had a good spell out on loan last season. Obviously, we want to be playing regularly, but, you know, I don't think Smith can promise him that. He's got to try and fight for that shirt, and you know he did his best last night, and you know he did nothing wrong. So I just hope he challenges Cash a bit more in the league.
Yeah, I gave him. I was going to give him a 9, but I think that's a bit too high. So yeah, I give him an 8. I thought he did better than Target, in my opinion. And he did. He flew down the wing. He got a goal. He did really well. He got an assist. can't really ask for more than that, really, from a fullback. So, yeah, it was a good performance. So, 8. El Ghazi?
For me, El Ghazi is going to get a 9. You know, he kept his place from the weekend, the only player to do so. He showed his quality. I mean, how ice cold was he for the penalty?
Oh, lovely.
An absolute joke. It was a disgusting. It was, you know. And then the commentator said at the time, you know, they've not seen him take a penalty like that. You know, obviously the keeper looked at how he took the penalty on the weekend because he dived the way that he did.
Yeah,
for Newcastle. You know, we all know what a confident El Ghazi does. You know, you look at the playoff final and, you know, some of the games in the Championship and some games last season as well. He needs the confidence, especially with the places, you know, so much more, you know, tight with Bailey coming in and, you know, you've got Trezeguet out. So that leaves one space. Bedint's doing well. So El Ghazi needs to lock down that left-hand side. And, you know, like we've said before, you know, it's Barrow and, you know, someone of his quality should, you know, get past Barrow quite easily. But, you know, you beat the team in front of you. His positioning was great. Passing was great. You know, and his runs in behind as well were great. 9. Solid.
Yeah, I'll go in on as well. No doubt the penalty, obviously. I know people say it's just a penalty, but that was just peak El Ghazi. It was so good, so cheeky as well. Then to shush the fans as well of a League Two team, just gotta love it, didn't you? Really, but as you say, he does love a back post goal as always.
Yeah.
That's one of his favourite things, bit of a signature move for him. But no, it was a very good performance. Didn't look troubled at all when he was on the ball. Always looked dangerous. Can't really knock that. So, yeah, solid 9, as you say. Nakamba?
Another 6 for me. You know, when you're picking up silly bookings, silly fouls, you know, some of his passing was awful at times. And you can see why Smith decided to play Louise against Newcastle now. You know, it's definitely one area of his game that he needs to improve is his passing. But, you know, his defensive positioning is much better than Louise. So, you know, that was helpful. He does like to come and sit deep sometimes. He's acting like a third centre-back sometimes. But, you know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. So it's a 6.
I gave him a 4. I thought he was atrocious. I thought he looked more like a Barrow. Reaction there. Jeez. I thought he was very poor. I thought he was more a Barrow player than a Villa player. Sorry to say. I worry. And I mean, like a lot of people are saying, and I'll ask you this question now, because I saw it on Twitter, to be fair, and I thought it was a really good question, especially after that performance. Who have you had to get rid of one between Hourihane and Nakamba? Who would you get rid of?
Nakamba.
There you go. So that says it all, doesn't it, really? So on to Hourihane then.
For me, Hourihane's going to get an 8, but it could. It's very, very close to being a 9. You know, like I said earlier, his passing was superb, finding the channels, finding the runners in behind. And, you know, you've got to wonder, you know, that performance could put him into starting 11 potential for Brentford. You know, we kind of miss someone that can play a pass in behind, down the wings, you know, left, right and centre. Refreshing to see. Great that he got the captaincy. I hope it's not a last hurrah for Connor. I'd like him to stay at least one more season. You know, because we should be pushing on in quality wise. You know, Sanson might come back and, you know, perform really well because we still got to wait for him to come back and he takes Harahan's place. We'll have to wait and see on his future. But, you know, quality the other night and well deserving of captaincy and 8, if not 9.
I'll give him an 8. It would have been a 0.5 if I did them, but I don't. I do think I've liked Connor. I know he's a bit of a Marmite player. You know, some people love him, some people hate him. But I do think that he's still got something to offer. I think from the free kick point of, I mean, obviously there was a lot of talk about Ward-Prowse coming over the summer, and I think if that's basically, if Hourihane had legs and a few years younger, that's what Ward-Prowse is. You know what I mean? Like, with his passing ability, his set pieces, because obviously people mistake Ward-Prowse as just a set piece hater, and he's not. He's got a lot to his game. And it's very similar to Hourihane, so I understood why we wanted Ward-Prowse, but obviously it didn't happen. I do think we're kind of past Hourihane's level. If we want to kick on to a European place, Hourihane's not a top six midfielder. But on the back of that, I don't think we've got many top six centre midfielders, in my opinion. So if it comes to any stays another season, I'm not going to begrudge that. I still think he's got his place in games this season, especially, like you said, against like a Brentford or a Norwich or something like that. I don't think, you know, we can do a job. Obviously, I don't expect him to play against, you know, the big boys or the teams in and around where we want to be. But lower league of the Premiership and obviously cup games, I've got no qualms with Hourihane. But yeah, on the ratings, I gave him a solid 8. Going on to Jaden
Bedins.
Bedins. There we go.
That's how I'd pronounce it anyway.
we'll go with yours, Bedins. What are you giving him, mate?
Jaden Philogene Bedins is going to get an 8 for me. You know, it's a first start for him. Proper minutes under his belt. Solid, you know, brilliant bit of pace, bit of flair to him. It's showing that he's got a good passing range. You know, he may have been, you know, shy in front of goal, but, you know, it's a team effort at the end of the day, and he helped the team out massively. It's going to be an 8, but it could have been a bit more. It's good to see that, you know, the youth again coming through. And, you know, people have rated him higher than, you know, Chukwuemeka. So, you know, Liverpool, Dortmund, apparently in Barca, was sniffing around in the, was it this summer or last summer?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got the potential to go far. And, you know, people, we're over the Jack Grealish saga now. But, you know, we've got so many more. Jack Grealish is coming through. You got Chukwuemeka, Bedins. You know, you got Archie. You got Ram, the two Ramsey brothers, the two Chukwuemeka brothers. You know, it's crazy right now for the youngsters. But, you know, we love to see the youngsters come through. We love to see them playing well. And they have done. And Bedins gets an 8.
Yeah, same for me. Gets a solid 8, did very well. I think he's got to be a bit more intelligent, in my opinion. I can't really say that because I'm a professional footballer, but I just think he should be, I get it's his first game. He's going to be high and he's going to be wanting to smash it. Like, but he had a good game. You know, he showed what he could do. I would love to score because there's a lot of, like you said, there was a big teams around him sniffing around, and obviously there's a bit of hype behind him, especially like Louis Barry as well. Every time Louis Barry plays, everyone thinks it's like the reincarnation of Pele or Maradona or whoever. So people kind of got quite high on him. So people, you know, his expectations are quite high. So hopefully he can live up to it and, like you say, become the next Grealish. So yeah, solid 8 for me. Chukwuemeka, what are you going for?
Is that you pronouncing it?
Chukwuemeka. Did I? Let's just go Carne. That's what me and Gary just go Carne. We're just making it nice and easy. We ain't gonna worry about these surnames. It's just so easy. Just go Chuck. It's Carne. I see who he is.
But you just go Chuck. You can't even do that.
Chuck. No, you can't. Can
you? Is it?
Yeah.
Can't then.
Yeah, wait till the subs, Caleb.
I'm gonna give him a 7. It could have been an 8. I think there's a bit lacking there. You know, he's not got the strength yet, but you know, he's, you know, what is he, 16, 17? That will come with age. But apart from that, you know, he carried the ball quite well. He got into good positions, good link-up play with a few of the wingers and midfielders. It was an all-round good game, you know, and his first start as well. So he's only going to get better. And, you know, he was playing as a number 10. We don't really know where his best position is right now. Is it a number 10? Is it a number 8? Personally, I think it's number 10.
I agree.
And hopefully, you know, he's going to get more game time this season and he'll keep on progressing.
Yeah, I'll give him an 8. I thought he did really well. I was very impressed with him. Some of his passing ability was second to none. Him and his brother were superb on the ball. So I've given him a solid 8. Archer, I wonder what this is going to be.
Well, can you have a guess?
I think it might be double digits.
Oh, well, you're right. It is. It's going to. It's 10 for him. You know, we talked about it earlier, but, you know, first professional game for Villa, first start, you know, and he goes and bags himself a hat-trick. Some of his movement was quality. His professionalism, his work rate. And it just shows you that, you know, our management and our coaching doesn't just stop at our first team. It goes right the way down into the under 23s and the under 18s, and we've all got the same philosophy. We like to play and we like to score goals, and you know, you can see it in him. And you know, in Shakespeare's interview afterwards, you know, that he impressed in pre-season, and that's why the position that he is, and he's grabbed it with two hands, like he said. You know, when we need, you know, sometimes you need someone like that, because, you know, if Wesley played that game, would he be up for it like Archer was?
No.
You'd probably say no. And, you know, it's massive for him being a local lad, you know, from Warsaw. He's been with the club for 12 years, I think, or something like that. I don't know, anyway, not 12 years. That means it'd be 2, wouldn't it? he's been with the club...
a long time.
Yeah, we've finished that. I was trying to work it out then. 11 years, that's what it's been. 11 years. You know, he's been on that journey. He's been through all the youth levels, and now he's made his first team debut. And what a game, way to top it off. He got man of the match, and he got the match ball as well. And to give you a stat, you know, he's the last player to score a hat-trick in the league or the EFL Cup was Scott Sinclair in 2015. So it's taken 6 years for a Villa player to score a hat-trick in the EFL. If you don't include Scott Sinclair, you've got to go back to 2003 for Pablo Angel's hat-trick against...
Oh, Angel.
And then if you want another stat, because I'm... You know, they call me Statman Dave, even though I'm called Callum. He's the youngest player, the second youngest player to score 2 or more goals in the EFL Cup or League Cup for Aston Villa at 19 years and 319 days old. You know who? Do you reckon you can know who first place is or the youngest?
In what? Sorry, the
youngest player to score 2 or more goals in the EFL Cup or League Cup.
Oh, how long ago was it? Are we talking? How long are we talking?
This century, so since 2000.
Is it going to be someone stupid like a Vassal or a Gabby?
It's a player that's still playing.
Ooh.
I wonder if anyone at home can guess.
We need the countdown clock, don't we, really? No, go on.
It was James Milner.
Oh, I would never got that.
At 19 years and 259 days old. So, you know, he's making records and making headlines.
Yeah, well, as you said, like, to be fair, I'd never got Milner in a million years. Not that obviously I don't remember him playing, but you don't really think of him as a goal scorer, do you? So, but no, I wonder if that would have been during his loan season.
Yeah, I believe it was.
From Newcastle. Was it? So on Archer, I would have gave him... He's a solid 10. As you said, everything right, perfect. Wasn't exactly like the ball, you know, fumbled into the back of the net for any of them. he just took every single one of them. Clinical, strong, confident, exactly something we need. Wesley going out on loan. I mean, obviously, everyone said Barry wouldn't mind being number three, or at the time, obviously, back up to Watkins, because obviously Ings wasn't, you know, with us at the time. I mean, if this is how he's going to continue, I have no problem with him making the step up and covering Watkins and Ings if needed, you know, because I'm not really for the whole El Ghazi striker, you know, no thank you. So, yeah, brilliant, absolutely superb. Obviously, when we looked at the names on the team sheet, me personally, I looked and he wasn't one of the names that jumped out at me, you know, to look forward to see. Obviously, Hourihan as captain, Carney, I wanted to see play, his brother, Jaden, you know, Twanzabi, to see how he gets on. El Ghazi against lower league division, you know, and looking at the bench, you saw Bogard and all that, who was kind of, and Swinkles, who everyone seemed to be raving about, those players. No, I mean, me personally, I didn't look at Cameron Archer going, oh, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play. Do you know what I mean? Like, without being harsh to him. But from now on, I am completely the other way on that. So, yeah, solid 10 for me. Going on to subs, we'll just quickly cast our rating on Caleb. Actually, I told you I'm not going to do it again. Hayden Lindley and Aaron Ramsey. So, what are you going to go?
I'm going to go for it quickly. Lindsay, I'm going to give a 5 because he didn't have much time on the pitch. Caleb Chukwuemeka is going to get a 6. You know, again, you know, not too much time, about, what was it, 20 minutes. But, you know, he did enough to get a rating. He wasn't too bad. You know, it's just funny that it's Chukwuemeka vision at the moment at Villa. And then Ramsey is going to get a 7 because I thought, you know, I'm tipping him to be better than his brother. And, you know, he brought in sparks in the game. And again, you know, all the subs gain their first minutes with the club in a professional game in the first team. And it's just, you know, great to see another 3 players get to put on the Villa shirt, and hopefully it's not for the last time either.
I gave all 3 7. Nothing, like I said, Caleb did probably the better out of the 3, but I still, you know, it's hard with subs because obviously it's not their fault coming on as a sub. But, you know, when you got 10, 15 minutes to change a game, you know, it's quite hard, even when you're one of the best players, you know, let alone like a kid coming through the ranks. So a solid 7. Right, we've done that now. So the second part of our podcast is obviously the Brentford preview. As always, we will start with our predicted lineups. So over to you. What's your predicted lineup? Or, you know, if you want to start with your formation, how you want to go? Like I say, this can either be, because I know this, you're kind of new to this, you know, filling in for Gary. Basically, you can either say this is what you'd go for or what you think Dino will go for. Either or, you go for it. So what's your predicted lineup for the Brentford game?
Well, I'd like him to keep the same formation as we did against Newcastle.
Yeah.
Like a 4-3-3 with one holding. Obviously, it's going to depend on fitness again for a few players. But, you know, I think everyone, apart from El Ghazi, is, you know, been rested, kept at home in bubble wrap. So, for me, it'd be Martinez in goal as standard. A back four, I don't think you should change it. You know, it's going to be Cash, Consa, Mings and Young. Target's still got a bit of a way to go before he's challenging Young again, or if Young has a mare. As a holding midfielder, it's going to be Louise. You know, it can't not be.
Yeah, I agree.
The two just in front of him. I mean, I'm very tempted to put Hourihan next to McGinn, but I'm going to go against myself and keep it as the same. So it'll be McGinn and Ramsey. But I think Hourihan has got a chance of maybe coming off the bench just because of the performance the other night. And then I'm thinking it could just be unchanged, to be honest. I would like to see Bailey back if it's not too long term, because, you know, Smith said it wasn't going to be a long term problem. It just depends on whether he can be back in time. I would like to see him play, but I'm thinking it might be too early. He might be benched and that forces someone off. So it's going to be Brendy Ings and El Ghazi. I think El Ghazi will be fine for it. You know, he got subbed off.
I think you're right there, mate. I think you're spot on. I think you've nailed it. I don't think there's going to be any changes.
It's second game at home in a row. You know, the players would have got used to how Villa Park's going to be. Some of them would have known already, you know, like Louise, McGinn, Consa, Mings. But the other players, they needed to get kind of used to that kind of atmosphere, how loud we are compared to their old clubs. And playing in the stadium as a full capacity. I'd like to see Bailey in and possibly maybe go 4-2-3-1, Buendia in the middle. But I think it's still going to be too early for Bailey to start after picking up a knock last week. Bench-wise, obviously, I don't think we're going to see Wesley now with him potentially going out on loan. It's not been confirmed yet, but there are loads and loads of rumours right now. So, you know, you could even see Archer on the bench, possibly. It depends on the under-23s' fixture list as well. But it could be even the same subs as the Newcastle game, apart from Wesley, if that's not confirmed by then. You might be looking at three or four defenders on the bench, which, you know, wouldn't be ideal, but maybe just for one game, it's fine until we get things sorted. It's going to be a tough game, obviously, because, you know, newly promoted side, first time in the Premier League. I don't think they haven't won at Villa Park in quite some time, Brentford, in the last few meetings. So, you know, hopefully, I wouldn't like them to get one over us this early on. If we are trying to challenge for Europe or, you know, just under those spots, we've got to be beating teams like this. Yeah, we've got a way. We let one go against Watford. But, you know, now we need to start kicking on, getting points on the board and start putting those teams, you know, kind of in their place. Yeah, it'd be nice to score a few goals and, you know, keep another clean sheet. But, you know, we're going to have to see how it goes because, you know, at the moment, Brentford are above us in the table after two games. They're not going to be a pushover. It's going to be a tough game, that's for sure. And we need to be at our best. And luckily, you know, we've been able to rest so many players for it. And I know they played, was it Forest Green, was it?
Yeah.
In the Cup. You know, I'm pretty sure they'd have rotated as well. So both teams are going to be up for it. And I'm obviously going to predict a win, of course, but, you know, Villa fans might be thinking, oh, it's a newly promoted club. We'll walk these over. Well, look to Watford. What the Watford game?
Well, exactly as you said, because obviously, as you said, Brentford aren't. I mean, obviously, they played Arsenal and they turned them over. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. it is what it is. So, I do think people are going to underestimate Brentford. I mean, Brentford, I haven't put them as kind of a dark horse this season. But there are somebody I'm going to look out for because I've always said, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Brentford because I just think they're a good football club. Do you know what I mean? Like just them just well run. They do it the right way. You know, they can't really afford to buy success. And it's a bit of like a David versus Goliath versus every team in the Premier League for them. So obviously we all love like a fairy tale story. Obviously, when they come to play us, I want us to absolutely batter them and start, you know, and put quite a few past them. But yeah, I think as you said, when you gave the lineup I do think it's going to be unchanged. I think we won. I don't like changing a winning side, even though as you said, I don't mind Ramsey being there, but I don't know if he's the long-term solution, you know, until, you know, he grows more, you know, and reaches his potential. But I have no problem. You have a good game, you stay in my side. El Ghazi again, like I say, we don't know what's happening with Bailey. We don't know what's happening with Watkins. Obviously, we know Traore's out for a few weeks. So it'd be interesting to see if Watkins or Bailey comes in and then drops Al-Ghazi. Because, you know, I mean, in all fairness, I don't think Buendia's been that great since his debut. I don't think he's had a very good season so far. I understand they've still grown into the game. You know, Danny Ings, I wouldn't say he's carrying us, but, you know, his 2-2 is obviously, he's kind of showing his quality and something we've missed, which is a natural out-and-out goal scorer. I love Ollie Watkins before anybody says otherwise, but Danny Ings is just a clinical finisher, isn't he? His job is goals. That's what he gets paid to do. Watkins is more of a workhorse, so I'm very, very interested to see them pair working together because I think it could be absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, going on to the Brentford game itself, as you said, I don't think they're going to be a walkover. I think they're going to, no one's expecting Brentford to do anything this season, otherwise go back down. I mean, if you offered their fans 17th, they'd take their arm off, you know? So no one's, I'm not expecting to do anything but go down. So they've got nothing to lose. Every game is going to be a fight for them and they're going to fight for points. And if we're not too careful, you know, especially like we said in the Newcastle game, you know, the first half, Newcastle looked quite, you know, quite decent. And Watford obviously turned us over and they deserved to, in all fairness, because they was brilliant. You know, we can't be lapsy-daisy. And for some reason, Villa always seems to have this thing with newly promoted sides or, you know, sides that we kind of feel a bit lesser, that we just kind of not turn up for. And we kind of just think we can walk them. And it's just, I am concerned. I do think, you know, Brentford aren't there just for the taking. If we play to our full ability, full strength, you know, Danny Ings is on fire. Buendia can do what we know he can do. John McGinn, Al-Ghazi, Bailey, if he plays and all that, you know, we should have enough quality to put him away.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they've got to turn up. You know, you can't just expect that because they are a workhorse team. They play some really good football and they can play it around us like, you know, like they're the team pushing for Europe in not us. So we've got to, you know, we've got to take them. And obviously, being Dino's old team, and obviously he's got a massive influence over that side still because of Frank working underneath him. You know, he's going to know all this more than any of us will. So hopefully he can work his magic and just get a win out of it.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the head-to-head, you know, Brentford have come to Villa Park the last three times and got draws. You know, last time it was 2-2, then 0-0, then 1-0. Sorry, 1-1 in the first season of the Championship. So we've always drew at Villa Park and then always lost at Brentford's ground. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't repeat itself and we finally get a win at Villa Park against Brentford for the first time since 1946. So let's hope for that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I didn't know that stat at all, but, you know, at the same time, they drew 0-0 with Palace and, you know, everyone's kind of think Palace are in a bit of a free-for-all. So hopefully that's kind of, you know, their decent win over Arsenal at the start of the season. Hopefully that was their, you know, where teams come up and have that, you know, just where they just beat anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those freak things when teams come up, they just seem to have, you know, full of life and stamina and spunk. So hopefully when they come to play us, that's all gone and we can do the job. So going into that and our thoughts, what is your predicted result?
Oh, this is going to be, you've got me there. I'm going to go and say, I'm going to go with a 1-0 Villa win. That's only because I can't see us scoring more, but I'd like to think we can keep a clean sheet. So, you know, take that with a pinch of salt. As long as it's a Villa win, I couldn't give a toss.
I'm going to go 2-1. I think Tony's going to score. I think he's going to be off the mark. I think he's going to put one past us. Sadly, I do. For some reason, our back five seems a bit shaky this season. You know, obviously, Watford putting three past us. I mean, we have scored four in the last two. So, you know, there is goals in us. Obviously, one was a Danny Ings wonder goal. One was a penalty. But, yeah, I think there is goals in us, I think. So I'm going to go 2-1. And I think Tony's going to score. And I think we're going to see, I think Al Ghazi's going to score. And I think Danny Ings is going to score. So who's scoring your one and only goal?
I mean, I would say Alan Hutton if he was still with us. can I give it Martinez? Why not? No. Let's go John McGinn.
Ooh, John McGinn special. Outside in the box. Are we going for that?
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, off the off the bar and in, yeah.
All right, fair enough. So yeah, so that is our review. Oh, sorry, review. That's our preview on the Brentford game. So yeah, thank you guys. Thank you for listening. I know we'll be back for the Brentford review on the weekend, and Callum will be joining us. We're going to try something new and different in having three of us talk over the Villa. Hopefully, you know, you enjoy it, and hopefully, you know, it all goes well. So thank you, Callum, for joining us again.
Thank you, and look forward to the freeway.
Oh.
Oh.
JK. Yeah. Thank you, guys, and speak to you again. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.